There's a difference, as you are probably well aware, between promise and fact. Ladies, is there a difference between a promise ring and a wedding ring? Oh, I should have heard it stronger than that. Big difference. The Bible is full of promises. But when God speaks, it's as good as done. Don't you believe that? Promise versus fact. Now, some of you have had parents in your life. When your parents die, typically, the will is read. The inheritance passes. The last will and testament. We have the New Testament and the Old, but thank God for the New Testament. Amen? The Testament. Jesus already died, shed His blood, rose again, and gave us His will and testament. This means His promises really are, in fact, our provision. What He says is true. The question is, who are you going to believe? There's a verse, and we'll see it this morning, but who has believed our report? What report are you going to believe? How many want to believe ABC? CBS, NBC, all the other alphabet letters. How many would rather believe the Word of God? Sometimes what we see by our sight belies what it says in the Word, but this is the truth. Pick up your Bible, hold it to your chest, and say, "Thank you, Lord, for the truth." There may be a few errors and copies that were made through the years, but overall, 66 books written over centuries with an overwhelming, consistent theme and harmony and a story of redemption from Genesis through to Revelation, and Jesus has given it to us. This is His testament to us. Now, we're still growing and we're still attempting to live more of it. But sometimes in our minds, we live like, gosh, I wish I could have what the Lord says. I'm grasping and striving instead of simply receiving it. Now, some of you were blessed in this room to receive inheritances. Some of you were simply blessed that you didn't receive bills. I come from that camp. But there are times in inheritances where some will receive certain things at 25, some at 35, some at 40. You remember the famous thing probably Bing Crosby left his millions and millions to his children, but they couldn't have any of it until they were 60. Well, what's the use? That's kind of what they felt. Anyway, but the point was he didn't want them to simply take advantage of his provision. It was a hard situation for them, but there are promises when we surrender our life to Jesus and give Him our life, are washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, we're cleansed by the Spirit and filled with the Spirit of God, we are His blood-washed sons and daughters, and this belongs to us, and it's Dad's provision to us. Someone say amen. Amen. God did His work, and then He rested. And He says, as we begin to take a look at the Scriptures, that there's something for us. Watch what the Scripture says. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Something for them to enter into. Something to inherit. The Lord promises we need to walk in His Spirit and we will see His will be done. Take a look at what it says in Zechariah 4. Not by might nor by power, please read it with me, but by My Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Sometimes we say, well, I don't have enough faith. Wait a minute. It's not how big is your faith. It's how big is your God. He's the one who's promised. And as we come to church, what are we supposed to be able to do? Hear the Word of God, which quickens us in our most holy faith. So we walk out this door and live like Jesus in this earth. How many know you've got neighbors that need you to be living like Jesus? How many know you've got friends that need Jesus? And we need to be quickened in our faith, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, what I want to do is give you several simple points this morning, and I want to take a look at something in Israel that happened, but application for today. And I want you to say the title with me. The best is yet to come. Say it with me. The best is yet to come. Say it to each other. The best is yet to come. Say it to someone else. The best is yet. Do you really believe that? A lot of times we don't live like we believe that. We live like the children of Israel did in Numbers chapter 13. Turn to Numbers chapter 13 if you would please. It's in the Old Testament, right toward the beginning, within the first several books. Numbers is one of the Pentateuch. Okay, so it's in the first five books. And Numbers chapter 13, and I'm going to give you just a quick summation of what happened when it was time for the children of Israel, who had left the bondage in Egypt, to go into their promised land. They got to the border of their promised land, and I'm going to be reading from 30 to 33 and referring to just before that section of Scripture. Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 through 33 is what I'll be reading. They'd come out of Egyptian bondage, 430 years in bondage, your history tells you, the Bible says. They made their way through the desert to their promised land. God promised a place. God promised a provision. How many in this room have any promises from God? God has promised you something. And so there's provision that He wants to give. And then the Lord says, I want you to send in Moses, 12 spies, to look at the land and confirm that this land is flowing with milk and honey, that there's beautiful fruit. It's a wonderful land. And they do that. Remember your Bible? The 12 go into the land, spy it out. They bring back these huge hunks of fruit, and it's absolutely fantastic. And they give a fantastic report of the land. But 10 of those spies saw God's word limited by sight. God's word limited by sight. Two of them had the sight to see God's word and that they would be sustained by the promise of God. How many remember the two's name? The two names? Caleb and Joshua. And the other 10 we forget because they were pretty severely dealt with, weren't they? All right, now, 10 minimized the blessings and maximized the giants that they saw. Verses 30 through 33, they are giving this bad report. Then Caleb quiets the people before Moses and says, we should be by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. Say that with me. They are too strong for us. What's the opposition you have in your life? 25 years of a mad that you faithfully kept serving against the mad to see God bring a breakthrough. And God brought the breakthrough. May take a little while, but sometimes we see the negative, the opposition, as bigger than God's ability to break through. They're too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel. What did they give? What is it? I want you to say it real loud, please. A bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone and spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There we also saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we became, say it with me please, like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. This is the New American Standard Bible, one of the most accurate translations. We became as grasshoppers in our own sight. And therefore, you could read in there, so we were in their sight. The Bible has a verse that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Has God said something or hasn't He? Has God promised or hasn't He? Is God's word true or isn't it? Wait a minute, my circumstances tell me something different. God's word isn't true. And God looks at you over His glasses because He's really, really old and He says, since when has my word been limited by your circumstance? Remember, I'm the God who can change those circumstances. I'm the God who can change you. I'm the God who can help you. They throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, and what happens? The enemies who threw them into the fire are burnt up, but the three guys are walking around in the fire, and the fourth one, it says, like the Son of God, shows up and is in the fire with them. And remember what the king does? Whoa, wait a minute! Didn't we throw in three people? How come there are now four? And he looks like the Son of God. And they said, well, King, that's because God is here. You would think the circumstances would dictate faith. But they said, even if God didn't show up in the fire, we're still going to worship Him. Because He's bigger. Turn to each other and say, God is bigger than your circumstances. What do you see? What has God made you? What do you confess? What comes out of your heart? The words, the Hebrew in here is powerful, where it says they are too strong. It's the Hebrew word kazak, and it means they're too hard, they're too bold, they're too violent. The enemy is too violent. How many understand there's a spirit loosed in our world called terrorism? And it is designed to produce terror. But what does God's Spirit do? Send that Spirit fleeing in the name of the Lord, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. They're too strong. And they gave a bad report. And the word bad report of that phrase means they gave a slanderous and defaming report. A slanderous report. I guess God's not going to come through. How can you trust a God like this who will allow that to happen in my life or in my relative's life? The word giants here is nephil. And it literally means in the Hebrew, they called them giants. It literally means they were bullies and they were tyrants. And we are like grasshoppers. And that word in the Hebrew means locusts. Now, it's interesting, because the children of Israel in Egypt had seen locusts do very powerful things. But they saw it referring to their own size compared to a giant. They didn't remember what God had done previously, even if they wanted to use their own metaphor. The result of listening to the negative report is that the people murmured and the people disobeyed and they then excused it by their children. Our children are going to be hurt by this. And I don't want to follow God. Maybe my kids are going to be put down in school. Or if I get my kids in a Christian school, they're going to be put down. And if I go to church on Sunday morning, oh, my kids are going to be put down on a block. Hey, listen, God is able to take care of you and your family. If you'll honor Him, He will honor you. What a concept. Obeying the Bible brings blessing. Smile at each other. Say, you'll be blessed. They rehearsed it. They heard the negative report, and they rehearsed it. And they believed it. Can't do versus can do. Can't do versus can do. How many would rather be a can do person? Yes. By the power of God, we can be can do people. That doesn't deny difficult times. But we have someone with us in the difficult times. Our kids are going to get hurt. So God says, okay, fine. You're going back out to the wilderness for 40 years. I'm taking you out of the picture. And the kids you think are going to get so hurt by obeying me, they're the ones who are going to go in. A new generation entered into the land. Oh, and guess what? Two others, kind of older folk, called Caleb and Joshua. Now, how many believe? I'm ready for a new revival. I'm ready for a new pouring out of the Spirit of God. You know, it's been a generation. A generation is 40 years. It's been a generation since the charismatic movement. Oh, God, I'm ready. Lord, pour out a revival. But guess what? I don't want it just to happen to the kids. Lord, let us, Calebs and Joshuas, go in also. Amen. Come on, someone say amen. Lord, include us. Pour out your Spirit. I want to go in with the kids. My son Christopher's over there ministering in Wenatchee. He's got 300 or 400 kids in a youth group. Preaches one night, 80 people baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I look at Pastor Carl and said, we never had those kind of results. But, oh God, isn't that great? But I want to be included, Lord. Pour out your Spirit. Do it and include me. New generation. Including Joshua and Caleb. Will make it if they believe God. His promise remains. It's to you and me. What report do you listen to? His promise remains. Joshua 24, verse 15. Remember, Joshua's getting ready to go off the scene and he says, choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to believe? What report are you going to listen to? Choose you this day. How many understand we make a choice daily to what report we'll listen to? Will you give yourself to the Word of God and to what He says, or to the negative things that's in the spirit of this age? The negative, the down, what we see with our eyes, what we hear on the news. It's okay to be aware, but when you drink from that spirit, you end up every day ready to commit suicide. I might as well go now because we ain't going to get any better. What happened? God said, head out to the wilderness, and these people said, oh, I guess we blew it, turned around, tried to go up and defeat the enemies then. And God said, And they had defeat on their hands. And then God wanders them through the wilderness. Moses, remember, God says to Moses, I think this was a test of Moses. He said, look, he says, these people are so stubborn and so disobedient, just get out of their way, I'll wipe them out, and I'll raise up a new set of people through you. And Moses, what a test. They were testing people to Moses. They were kind of testy. Can you imagine Moses looking around going, not a bad idea. Charlie Horowitz, we'd get rid of you. He says, no, Lord, don't do it. You can do it with these people. You've promised it. You can do it. The other nations will look around and say, what happened to your God? Wasn't he able? And I think God tested Moses to see what was in his own heart. And so God says, okay, these people won't respond. Now, I pray a verse every Sunday, and I want you to know this is the context of where it now comes in when it says, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Wrong verse. Good verse. Nice verse. Did you see that verse? Good verse. Let's go on. Here we go. Numbers 14:21. Please read it with me. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory. Really? Do you believe that? That's what the Bible says. The word glory is kabod, and it means weight and splendor. God's splendor is going to fill this earth. Habakkuk 2, verse 14 says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11, verse 9, second half, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 6, verse 3 says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Present, past, or future? I'm sorry? Present. Is. Is you is or is you ain't my baby? Is. Present tense. Psalm 72, verse 19. And blessed be His glorious name. How long?
Forever.
And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Wait a minute. We oftentimes look around and say, this whole earth is going to hell in a handbasket. You might as well resign. I mean, the jihadists are going to take over, and everything's going to be bad. And we look in the Bible and says, wait a minute. God wants to fill the earth. How many believe that? Okay. How many really believe that? The best is yet to come. As a man believes in his heart, so is he. What do you believe determines what you do. What you believe determines how you live. What you believe affects what you're going to involve yourself in. I happen to think that God is true when He says, I want my kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. I happen to believe God when He says, I want my church to be together and I'll put myself in their presence. I just happen to be crazy enough to believe when the Bible says He's here with us this morning, that He's here. You sure? Say it southern. I'm sure, Pastor Kev. This is what He says He will do. It's going to happen. How is it going to happen? Church, how is this earth going to be filled with His glory? Through you and me. Yes, He's going to do miracles. He's going to show Himself wonders in the heavens and great glorious things. How's He going to fill this earth with His glory? Through you and through me. Lightly touch each other in the arm and say, through you. Now punch your other neighbor and say, through you too. Those who believe God's word and who go up will inhabit the land. Your destiny is ahead of you, not just behind you. The best is yet to come. Your destiny is ahead of you, not just behind you. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think toward you, God says. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's the New King James. That phrase out of the King James is very enlightening. It's tikva akarith. Say it with me in the Hebrew. Tikva akarith. And it literally means a cord or an attachment. In the King James it says, God is giving you an expected end. A cord or an attachment. How many ever feel like God's the only thing pulling them through? Come on, you ever feel like God's the only thing pulling you through? God's given you a cord, an attachment. He's got a plan, a will, a destiny, a future. And He says, come on, if you'll walk with me by faith, I'm going to pull you through. How many thank God He's got a cord and an attachment in your life? But we sometimes lose sight of the scarlet thread, if you will, when they went into Jericho and the scarlet thread hung out the window. We sometimes lose sight that God's there. Luke 19. Just to refer to it, Luke 19:1-27 is the parable of the 10 pounds. Remember, the master's getting ready to go on a journey. He delivers this money and he says, I want you to take care of this for me. And you got one who invests it and comes back doubling his money. Another one invests it, comes back doubling his portion. And the third one says, I'm sorry, I knew you're a hard taskmaster. I went and buried mine and I have yours to give to you again. But remember, what's the purpose here? There's a whole powerful point there about the character and a heart of belief. But there's a job God said through the parable to do. Watch it, please. Luke 19. Occupy till I come. Out of the New King James. Do business till I come. Out of the Message. Operate with this until I come. Out of the New Living, invest this for me while I am gone. And in the Greek, that word is pragmatuomai. Pragmatuomai. Gesundheit. And it literally means to busy oneself about the business of the Master. Be about the business of the Kingdom. Don't bury your talent. Don't just wait to take it out. You've got something to do. You've got something to do for the Lord. Right, Peter? Right. You've got something to do. You're going to have a birthday, August 21st. I got that memorized now, see? But you've got something to do for the Lord. What has God given you to do? Wait a minute. Been there, done that. I don't want to do nothing. I'm sorry. You go to the New Testament. I don't read. I don't want to do nothing as a part of our calling. It's just not there. It's not in red. It's not even in the black. What's the calling of God? Work as hard as you can by grace. Not works for salvation, but work as hard as you can to help people and pray for people. And you see somebody in need, to reach out. And when they say, how come you're different? What's that glow on your countenance? Don't look at them and say, well, I got sunburned. Look at them and say, it's Jesus. So they understand the kingdom of God is here among them and Jesus lives in your life. And don't just get weight to be taken out. Do something here with the time you've got, with your time, with your gifts, with your talents, with the investment that He put inside of you. You've got something to give back to the kingdom of God. Burying the talents is not living. Maybe it's ministering to children. We'd like to know some people who have that calling in their heart, wouldn't we, ladies, who have helped with the children? Could give some help. What about serving? What about helping? What about praying? What about inviting? What about whatever it is? Let's complete this. What you believe leads to what you do. 1 John 4, verse 4, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Read it out of another translation, out of the Message. You've already won a big victory over those false teachers, the apostle is saying. For the spirit in you is far stronger than anything in the world. Regardless of what you hear on the news. Do you believe how you are living makes any impact? Okay. Now just take a journey with me, and this will go quickly. How many of you ever believe things were better in the good old days? Oh, come on, you can raise your hands. Things were better in the good old days. Now some of the rest of you are thinking, he's trying to trick me. I know there's reports and news of trauma all around the world. My heart goes out to the people in Pakistan, submerged in water and floods, and our military men and women, and terrorists are creating terror in people's lives, and I hate that spirit, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and we need to rebuke and do warfare against the demon spirits that are here to create something demonic, and there are bombs and rumors of war. But do you know? Let's get a snapshot of America in the 1800s, and Pat, just pull these up one point at a time, if you would, real carefully with me. You're doing great. Did you know in the 1800s there were 5 million immigrants in the United States, and 20% of them were slaves? A wicked system. 20%. The age of sexual consent in many states was 9 or 10 years of age. Do you know how many women and girls were horrifically, physically and sexually abused in America? In the good old days? Do you know that abortion was legal throughout most of the 19th century, and records show more than one-fifth, 20% of all pregnancies were ended in abortion? Michigan had the highest rate with 34% of pregnancies terminated with abortion. Alcoholism was much greater than today. Wait a minute, is it getting better or is it getting worse? I hear the negative, I hear the bad, but is it getting better or getting worse? Folks, there's an awful lot by the kingdom of God and the grace of God among us that's getting better. Somebody say, the best is yet to come. Alcoholism, much higher. Prostitution, much higher. In the 1800s, New York City, approximately one prostitute to 64 men. In Savannah, Georgia, they estimated it was one per 39. And I know no one here would admit to living in Savannah, so. A little joke. Come on, lighten up, it's okay. Americans going to church was the same rate as today, about 35% to 40%. Thousands of folks were moving west and had no church to attend. Native Americans were being forced off lands and murdered. Thousands of Chinese brought to the west coast, put into forced labor and slave labor. Gold rush days produced some of the most vile and dangerous communities the world and our nation has ever seen in the west. Murder was commonplace. Women couldn't vote. Men could legally beat their wives as long as they didn't maim or kill them. How many thank God you're not in the good old days? Some of you ladies can look at me this morning and put up your dukes and say, ain't nobody gonna touch me. Thank God you live today, though. Thank God. And Christianity is the best religion on the face of the planet for treatment of women. That's why people that say it just differently, say Christianity abuses women. It's the most wonderful religion on the planet for Jesus making male and female equal inheritors of the grace of life. But in the good old days, it was awful. Things were not better morally, ethically, or spiritually in a lot of places. All right? Okay, well, let's go back further. Let's go back to Jesus' day. He was born. He came into the world where the Roman Empire was the dominating civilization, and the civilization centered on Europe, on the Middle East, and on Northern Africa. Italy had approximately 40% of its whole population as slaves. All through the empire, homosexuality was common, especially between master and slave. People worshipped gods like Juniper and Juno, Neptune and demons and dead ancestors. North America had no revelation of the Messiah. South America, millions of people worshipped a bloodthirsty god, and they offered human sacrifices in the thousands in one single ceremony. When Jesus came, one tiny nation on earth had a revelation of one true God. Hear, O Israel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Lord thy God is one God. Monotheism. Absolutely uncommon in the globe. The world is far better off than when Jesus was born compared to the misery, the degradation, the wickedness, the cruelties of tyrannical leaders and slavery. That's an interesting, different way to think about it, isn't it? How many know you live in a day where medicine is far better than it was 20 years ago, much less 100 years ago, much less 2,000 years ago? Come on, anybody in this room thank God for the medicine you've received? Come on, anybody here alive because you've received some medical attention and care that wasn't available 50 years ago? Today, in contrast, now I want you to really hang in there with me because the best is yet to come, and I want you to watch something. And this is true. We may not see it all in America because that's what we see. That's our frame of reference. Lift your vision higher to what God is doing around this earth. The gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached in virtually every corner of the earth today. Radio, television, satellite is being broadcast. The good news of Jesus Christ is being broadcast around the world today. Somebody thank God. Now, come on. I want you to really hear this one. You need to know, we need to understand this because it changes our image. Do you know that 200,000 people per day are giving their lives to Jesus Christ? 200,000 people per day. Oh, come on, it's all just terrible. The earth is going to hell in a handbasket. No, you got a lot of people jumping out of the handbasket. Saying, I don't want to go there, and they're giving their life to Jesus Christ. 35,000 people per day are giving their lives to Jesus in South America alone. 20,000 people per day are giving their lives to Jesus every day in China. The most cruel regime almost for decades and centuries, 20,000 people per day. Do you realize that that means in every five-day period, 1 million people are giving their lives to Jesus Christ? You have 6 billion people on the planet. Do you understand that 2 billion people identify themselves as Christians? The largest group of impact in the world are Christians who surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord. Did you know that? Say it with me. The best is yet to come. The largest, most influential block of humanity in the world call themselves Christian. We just don't see it every day in the United States. Some countries are retreating from things we're putting into place every day in America, and they've walked this way for decades and centuries, and they're moving more toward freedom. And the gospel is being preached. And at noon, we should pray. But it's not noon. I thought that was going to be clever. It's only 11:30. Here, let me talk to them. It's time for a new generation of revival. Come on, it's time for a new generation of revival. It's time for a new generation of revival. It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to stand up and be counted and say, I don't have anything to be afraid of. It may not always go my way, but greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. The best is yet to come. The Spirit of God wants to pour out His Spirit on all flesh, the Bible says, and all this earth will be filled with His glory. As the waters cover the sea. Someone say, Amen. Pray after me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
I surrender my whole life to you.
I surrender my whole life.
Wash me clean by your blood. I turn away from giving myself to the negative report. And I give myself to the positive report of what you can do. And what you are doing. Oh Lord, pour out your Spirit on all flesh, including me. Oh Lord, pour out revival, include me. We thank you for it, Lord. Father, this day I pray for each and every person here this morning that you will bring encouragement to their souls, to their hearts, to their minds, to believe that God is good and He is on the move. And now we thank you, O Lord, for the precious Holy Spirit that leads and guides us. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you to do so. Come on up and we'll be honored to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, we believe in prayer and that God heals. You heard all sorts of testimonies this morning. Come on up for prayer. If you have anything on your heart you want to talk about and pray together with, we'd be honored to do that. Jesus is good. Turn to each other one more time and say, the best is yet to come.